Good evening. I'm your host, Aaron Rittmaster. Welcome to the Man Cave Live. We're joining me tonight to record Diz Dad's podcast number 113 are Norm Hayden.
Hey, everybody.
And Eric Anderson.
Good evening, everybody.
And we're here to wrap up the Munch Madness table service dining tournament that's been going on all summer. Thank you for joining us live in the Mixler room, and thank you for your patience. We're running a good 20 minutes late here, but I see most of you have hung around with us. I really appreciate it. So wanted to start out just a little bit reviewing kind of how we got here. Eric put together this this tournament bracket for us. We've been talking about doing this as a new tournament concept since, you know, almost since we finished the last one. And everybody was a little afraid to tackle, you know, the list here, and Eric took the reins. So I know we talked about this very early on in the series, but Eric, why don't you talk just a little bit about how you put this all together again, and maybe a little bit too why you put it together the way you did.
Sure. What I tried to do is break out restaurants that were kind of similar in their operation or design. So we had a foodie division, which is mostly places where you go to have a fine dining experience. These are mostly the signature restaurants on Disney property. Then there was a bracket for kind of dinner and a show, where there's something going on at the same time you're eating, whether it's characters or a vaudeville-like show, or, you know, something else that's drawing you to that experience that may have nothing to do with the food, but it's something that's worth seeking out. Then there's the hotels and the Downtown Disney area, which are mainly what I think of as convenience restaurants. You're eating there because you're in the resort, or you're visiting the resort, or you're doing some shopping in Downtown Disney, or you're just biding your time until you can get to the Ghirardelli shop. And then there are the restaurants, of course, in the theme parks, which I think if you kind of take those, you generally are captive, so it has something in common with like airport food. you're kind of there so they can give you whatever they feel like, and you're going to eat it because you don't have a lot of choice. Now, we all know that there are ways around that. You know, if you're in Magic Kingdom, you don't like what's there, you can hop on the monorail. You can be at, you know, Grand Floridian or the Poly or the Contemporary in a short time. But what I did was, you know, within those categories, I ranked them according to how good the food was only. So in my opinion, of course, and we've already found out that my opinion is contested somewhat sometimes.
What? Everyone agrees with Eric?
I know, but especially Norm. And I clearly underestimated Fulton's Crab House in this bracket. But, you know, I didn't worry about service. I didn't worry about, you know, the environment. I didn't worry about sort of the things that were going on around you at the meal. It was just based on what I considered to be the food quality. So I think that's where we got a lot of upsets coming in, because you can go to a restaurant that maybe the food isn't the greatest or isn't, you know, maybe as good as another place, but what comes along with it is really good. Like, we've had, you know, we had a lot of discussion about Artist Point and the wonderfully immersive environment.
Right.
That is the Wilderness Lodge.
Yeah, so, and the way in which that environment sort of integrated itself with the restaurant is, you know, to a large extent what carried it as far as it did.
Exactly. It is, you know, it's wonderfully immersive. It's consistent throughout. So, and that, I think, bumped it up. Whereas if you're just taking the food, it, I mean, the food's good, but maybe that, you know, that experience bumps it up a little over, you know, somewhere with, you know, maybe comparable food, but not as immersive a theme.
Right. And I think that, you know, Norm maybe was somebody who really his personal experiences and the overall that overall personal experience really played a lot into the way that, that he was coming down on these various restaurants. Was that a fair assessment, Norm?
Yes, Aaron. And I think that's when we talk about experience that I rated these and not only on the food but the whole experience itself. And now I've been to Walt Disney World. I think this will be our 14th trip this October and sampled almost all of the restaurants in the tournament. Not quite all of them, but most all of them. And for me, the experience was walking out the, and I've never stayed off property either. So all of these have been experiences from I've left the resort door and then how did I get to the restaurant? And then what was the experience? So for me, not only was it the food, but it could be the boat ride, it could be the landing, it could be the monorail ride, it could be the fireworks, in addition to the quality of the food. But it was all wrapped up in a package for me. And that's how I voted as I went through this tournament.
Okay. And I think that what we discovered, I hope all of you who are here with us listening live have already had a chance to listen to last week's show, because originally we hadn't planned on doing a live show to wrap up. I mean, actually, I should take that back. Originally, when we first planned out this series, I thought, well, gee, this would be a great opportunity to do a live show. And then I kind of thought about it a little more, and, you know, the timing of it wasn't necessarily the best, and, you know, maybe it would be better to just, you know, roll with it. And then my math skills got in the way. And when I went to actually schedule these things, we thought, ooh, we're like maybe a show or two short. And so then we got the guys together and we started recording the last episode. Things were moving along really well in terms of time. We thought, well, let's see if we can just go ahead and finish out the tournament. What are the chances that we get stuck at this point with another 2-2 tie? Gee, what are the chances? Sure enough, we get down to our final two, and we now are left with our final two contestants in this tournament, and Narcusi's and Ohana each garnered two votes. And we were locked up 2-2, and because we hadn't done a poll before we started recording, we didn't have a winner. And so right there on the spot, I said, okay, there's only one way to handle this. We got to go live. Luckily, Eric and Norm were both available. Unfortunately, James Cameron, who was on the show with us last week, is not available this week. So, James, you know, you've sent us here. I hope you're enjoying whatever you're doing tonight. You know, you should be here with us, too. You should have been putting up with the technical difficulties with us, but I guess we'll give you a pass. What we need now is we need our input from our listeners. I count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Good, an odd number. I count 7 in the chat room. So we're going to talk through this matchup in just a little bit, and I'm going to ask you guys to cast your votes for the winner of that final matchup, Ohana versus Narcusi. Narcusi's. I will ask you that you wait to cast your votes until you've heard some of the arguments, and we'll get to those in just a minute. But before we get to those arguments, I wanted to open the phone lines and see if anybody wanted to join us on Skype and talk about either something that you know came up during the podcasts leading up to this final, something that we should have talked about that we didn't. You know, somebody else who wants to tell us we were idiots for allowing Fulton's to bow out so early. There's got to be somebody besides Norm who feels that way. Maybe. Somewhere. Anywhere. Do I have any volunteers? I'm watching the chat room. No callers. All right. So with no callers, we're going to go ahead and start making some of these arguments for our various options. And I'm going to ask Let's see. I have to remember how this broke down. So, Eric, I believe that you and Norm were both the Narcusi supporters. Is that correct?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, you guys ended up on the same side. So it's you two, and then I guess I'm arguing the Ohana side. So I'm going to let, Eric, you go first and give us your argument, your best argument for... Now we have people who would love to Skype in. So before we get to this, I'd like to open it up and bring some people in. So I'm going to go ahead and try to add in, let's see, I know I've got Justin in my address book here already. So Justin, get ready for the Skype call. I'm going to try to add you in here. Just a warning, you'll hear a lot of feedback if you're in Skype and on Mixler at the same time. Hey, Justin.
Hello.
So, Justin, first of all, have you been listening all along?
Yes, I've listened to all of the podcasts about this series. So.
Okay. So, what is it that you think we did? You know, that we missed. What were you waiting to hear that you didn't hear?
I don't know that I would say that. Anything was missed. I would just say that if you redid the tournament with different panelists each time, you'd come out with a different result each time. You know, obviously, food is very subjective, likes and dislikes. My family, you know, they don't like a whole lot of... let's say adventure in their food, whereas I would, but being one out of four adventurous eaters kind of leaves me in the dark. So I haven't gotten the opportunity to try some of the fancier or more exotic cuisines that are out there, which I'm sure I would like.
Sure. Yeah, it's a good point. And, you know, I agree with you, and that's one of the reasons that we took the polls, you know, in the early rounds especially, is that we really felt like we wanted there to be some input other than just the people who were on the poll or on the panel, you know, voting on these restaurant matchups, because you're right, it is terribly subjective. And as we talked at one point, I think it ended up being off air, but we talked at one point about the fact that, you know, what I decide tonight might be completely different if I was presented with the choice between those same two restaurants on another night. You know, just depending on what I'd been doing that day or what else I'd eaten that day.
Yeah, and also your experience could vary. You know, I don't know, some people have been to Disney more than others, so some of these restaurants I've only been to once, and I might have, you know, I might have been having a bad day, so it might maybe didn't sit as well with me, or maybe we were having a great family time and the experience just left us with some great memories that, you know, we actually think back to it and it maybe wasn't as good as it actually was. But.
Yeah, we talked about some of that too, that you know, one, I guess from a little bit different perspective, when you're talking about restaurants at Walt Disney World, which is a place that most of us don't go that often. I mean, even those of us who get the opportunity to go, you know, every year, or people who manage to get themselves down, you know, three or four times a year, even then, it's a somewhat unusual occurrence, and eating in these restaurants is somewhat unusual. And so when you go to one of these restaurants, that first impression sticks with you. And so I think that sometimes, you know, you have one good experience at a restaurant, and it may carry you through another couple of bad ones even before you decide to change your assessment of the restaurant. And by the same token, if you have an initial bad reaction with 71 restaurants on property, why go back to someplace you've had a bad experience? And so I think that a lot of these restaurants sort of either benefit or lose out based on those initial impressions sometimes. And that's one of the reasons that these polls and some of this discussion, I think, is helpful. And one of the reasons we wanted to try and bring some more people in is obviously there are people who have had experiences at some of these restaurants that are different than the experiences that we have had. We had that come up, I think, in the show, in the discussion of Raglan Road, where we had people who had had completely divergent experiences at the restaurant. All right. Well, is there anything else you wanted to share with us, Justin?
Nope. it's been a good time. I'm glad we did it. It's certainly made me hungry.
It's been a lot of fun to do. Thanks for listening.
Thanks.
All right. And let's see. I thought David Matt wanted to join us as well. So let's see if I can get David added in. There you are, David. Here comes the call. All right, well, David's not picking up at the moment.
Hello? Can folks hear me? Hello? Can folks hear me?
Yep.
Yeah.
You're going to want to turn down Mixler.
Yeah, actually. Let's see if I can turn off Mixler. I'm doing it from an iPad, so it'll unmute to it.
Yeah, it's hard to do. Yeah, you may have to close Mixler and go back to it, actually. I don't know if there's another way to avoid it.
One second.
Okay.
Hopefully you can edit this out.
Yeah, well, I don't know how much editing is going to get done tonight. We'll see.
Okay, I just wanted to really compliment you guys for putting this together. I initially thought this would be really, really tough to get enough people that had, actually tried out a good number of the restaurants where they could, offer up some, really good opinions. But I think Eric, really needs to be commended, as well as the other folks on the panel, for, doing such a bang up job on this.
Yeah, nice eating, Eric and Norm.
Hey, we do what we can for you.
Yeah, and I got to say,
and thanks.
We have a lot of ideas of new places to try, like Narcosis I haven't tried, nor Blue Zoo or a few others. But, I was very happy to see my personal favorite of Artist Point making it as far as it did.
Yeah, I was a big cheerleader for Artist Point. I was disappointed to see it go, but it ran into a bit of a buzzsaw.
Aaron, I don't want to hear about it. My favorite restaurant goes out in the first round.
That's true. You went down in the first round to...
your restaurant lost to the best restaurant.
Well, it's one of those where I think that everybody's...
I think we lost you.
Got their own personal favorites, just based on their experiences going in, and we folks just kind of got to vote what they've what they've experienced or what they think going forward. So I think it's been really good, even though oftentimes ones that I'd really like got kind of cut down maybe earlier than they should have. But I got to say, with the two remaining ones, they sound like certainly worthy competitors. And I'll just chime in that I see a lot more pictures on Facebook of folks dining at Ohana. So I think there's something for to be said for the Diz Dad's restaurant being a place where you can build a shrimp wall.
Well, as you speak of shrimp walls, I see that the cheater himself has showed up in the chat room, and maybe we need to try and add Barry in and see if he can defend his foundation, quote unquote. But thank you very much. I appreciate the feedback, David, and look forward to having you join us again sometime in the near future on the panel.
Yep, sounds good.
All right.
I'll sign off. Bye, guys.
Bye, thanks. No Skype on the machine. So Barry's going to wimp out once again. And, you know, just like cheating and leaning on the chicken bones when he builds his shrimp wall, he isn't going to be able to get on here and actually defend himself. He'll just, you know, continue with his little fantasy about the need for a foundation on a shrimp wall. All right, so Norm and Eric, let's go ahead and start laying out the case here for our final matchup. We've got Narcusis, a number three seed out of the left side of the bracket, coming out as sort of the top of the crop from the foodie and the resorts in downtown Disney bracket, which is, frankly, in my opinion, probably the toughest side of the bracket. And then on the opposite side, Ohana from the dinner and a show and theme park side of the bracket. So, Eric, why don't you go ahead and make the case for either Narcusis or Ohana, whichever one you'd like to take a stab at.
Okay, well, I'm going to continue with Narcusis, since I voted that way when we tried to get a winner last time. I think this has a little bit of everything. I mean, you've got a beautiful location. You know, you're right down by the water. You can take a launch over from the Magic Kingdom. It'll drop you right there at the dock, right beside Narcusis. It's one of the more romantic locations at the Walt Disney World Resort. That may not be a big deal if you're there with the whole family, but for date nights, it works out really well. They put out excellent food. The focus is on seafood, and a lot of it local seafood. You're in Florida. They should be able to get some stuff, you know, to the middle of the state from the coast feed you some good seafood. The service there is really impeccable. I think they've got one of the probably the best server I've ever had at a Disney restaurant works there. And right outside, when it's time for wishes, you can take either look out the window if you're right by the, if you're seated right there by the windows, or just step outside. Maybe take a drink with you and watch Wishes. So, you know, the food is great. The service is great. Like I said, they've got a lot of more local sourced dishes. If that's something that you're looking for, it's always good when your food travels a shorter distance than you do to get to the to get to the restaurant. If you really wanted to make this overly simplistic, it would be sort of quality versus quantity, which I think it does a disservice to both restaurants. But you can get plenty of food at Narcusis. I mean, you cannot get unlimited grilled meats, but what they do at Narcusis is will certainly fill you up, and the tastes and the flavors that they use there are really excellent.
Okay. Norm, do you want to add any further arguments on either side?
Well, and I'm going to take a little different spin on this one and just compare the two of them just briefly with what I think are my highlights, because I don't think it's a surprise, maybe others do, but that the two of our finalists come from the Grand Floridian Resort, and they come from the Polynesian Resort, two of the most probably maybe sought out properties on Walt Disney World, perhaps. Beautiful resorts. As far as I don't want to go with the quality or quantity, although it is a good analogy, Eric. But to me, they both have that experience of a boat ride that you can catch from the Magic Kingdom to the resort. They both have those views of wishes. They both have those entryways into the resort.
Marion?
Narcoos is its own freestanding area there, but there's still, you have that resort surrounding. For me, I voted for Narcoos the last time because of lobster on the menu. We do not have local lobster in Kentucky, despite what the Ohio River might put out. we haven't found any lobster yet, but
it's an awfully big mud bug.
Yes, it could be mutating soon. We never know. So, but Ohana has, especially for breakfast, that Lilikoi juice, which is one of my favorite drinks. But I'll end my analysis with this last piece of it, is that when I think of best restaurant experience, for me, when we go out to dinner, not on a park day, not when we're eating to get to the, eat breakfast to get to the park, or at, we've been in the park all day and we're hot and tired and sweaty and we're going to grab a quick meal and then go back to the resort, that we've been at the resort today, I've been relaxing, been swimming, been enjoying the different things. Okay, now it's dinner time. We're going to get cleaned up, put on some semi-nicer clothes. It is Florida, it's in the hot sun. And then I'm going to go for dinner. And which one am I going to go for dinner? And that's going to be Narcoos. It's that signature, it's that fine dining, it's that experience destination for me. Whereas Ohana, more for me, is I'm eating there and I'm going to the parks, which is fun. But for my favorite restaurant, I'll go with Narcoos.
All right. Well, I guess I'm the one who's left to make the case for Ohana, since James isn't here with us this week. But if anybody wants to volunteer to help me make that case, let us know in the chat room. I'll add you in. But I'm going to make my argument in sort of, two or three parts here. First of all, I think that what really makes Ohana stand out is that it's a family atmosphere. Narcoos is no doubt a beautiful restaurant. It's great food. But when I'm at Disney World, I'm there for a family experience. And our family experiences at both the breakfast and dinner meal are real family experiences. It's things we do together, things we enjoy together. And, the breakfast is something that sets Ohana apart a bit. You don't get character interaction at all at Narcoos. It's not appropriate for that restaurant. That's not what they're there for. But the fact that you've got that character meal opportunity, and it's a nice combination of, classic characters from, Mickey and Pluto, that side, and you also have the modern characters, the Lilo and Stitch characters. Stitch is the one character that, I know I've mentioned it over and over again, the one character that my son has warmed up to and will, gladly throw his arms around and enjoy being with. So, that gives the breakfast a reason to be there. There's a, it's a destination breakfast. And then it's also a destination dinner. Some of the best, and here it's not even just great family experiences, but it's great group experiences. Some of this is just that it's sort of a polar opposite from Narcoos, but Ohana is a great restaurant for a group meal at dinner. And we've seen it at Diz Dad's convention. I've seen it at other times when I've been down to Walt Disney World. You gather a big group of people around those big tables. If it's an extended family group, you've got multi-generations around those big tables. And the communal, passing the family style served sides and things really, I think, emphasizes that sort of family focus and gives Ohana more of a Walt Disney World feel. It really feels like you're at Walt Disney World when you're at dinner or at breakfast at Ohana. Narcoos could be a terrific formal restaurant in just about any beautiful hotel in America. It's got a nice view of fireworks out the windows if you're sitting in the right place that you can see out the windows. But you could plop the same restaurant down in, dozens of other cities and still have a great restaurant. You can't do that with Ohana. It wouldn't fit anywhere else. So that's my impassioned plea for Ohana. All right, so we've had a...
Hey, Aaron?
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
I want to actually bolster your argument a little bit here for the family, element of Ohana. At dinner, if your kids don't want to eat the, copious amounts of grilled meats or the other stuff that's on the table, sort of family style, they can also bring you, like, hot dogs, mac and cheese. We've had to do this with my kids when we've been there before, which I think adds to that idea that it's very inclusive. It's a great way to get, your whole family fed. They're willing to go outside of their theme to make sure that the kids get food that they will actually eat.
Right. And I think that one of the things, too, is that, I even completely glossed over the sort of entertainment piece of it in the evening. Yeah, it's, silly, cheesy ukulele player and, the coconut race that not everybody necessarily participates in. But the fact that those things are there and really are, again, just kind of fun outlets and made that much more fun when you've got extra people there. You don't do that at Nurkusi. It doesn't fit there. And that's, I guess, what I'm getting at when I say each of these pieces are things that are things that make Ohana a uniquely Disney experience and, to me, therefore, would make it the more appropriate winner of the tournament. I don't think I have... I'm not arguing with you that the food at Narcoossee's isn't amazing and the service isn't amazing. I just think that it's less unique to its location and that Ohana is strong enough on those fronts that the other additional pieces that it brings sort of push it over the top. All right, so let's go ahead and open this up for our votes from the floor. We've got 12 people in the chat right now, but those 12 people include Eric and me. So it's 12, 11, 10. So we've got 10 in the room. I would like to ask each of you to go ahead and type in just one word, all right, either Ohana or Narcoossee's. And we're going to take those votes, and between those votes and Eric and Norm and I, we will finally have a winner for the Munch Madness tournament.
Does spelling count, Aaron? Just want to check.
No, please. I know who we're talking about here. And besides, people who keep turning Ohana into an Irish pub, don't want to count that against them. No, Barry, Miriam didn't help me with the math. I did it all by myself. I got plenty of fingers and toes here. Okay, I count one for Ohana, two for Ohana, three for Ohana, four, five, six, seven.
I count all for Ohana.
Yeah,
so.
I think Ohana is sort of rolling here, guys. And David Matt wins the chat room for the night with the comment that if there was a lobster wall at Narcoossee's, I could see a serious rematch. All right, so I think we have our winner, guys. Eric, Norm, you gonna try and argue with me on this one, or are we gonna acknowledge that Ohana advances as this year's Munch Madness champion?
Well, and I think the masses have spoken, so I think that's pretty clear. But, this is not like, and I think Eric will probably agree with me, it's not like we're picking a bad restaurant. I think I've been to Ohana several times for breakfast and dinner, both, and it's an excellent restaurant. So, congratulations to Ohana.
Yeah, I mean, that's been the beauty of this all along. I mean, I think from at least the Elite Eight on, it was clear, or I'm sorry, the Epicurean Eight on, there's just, you know, not a single one of these restaurants that would have been a bad choice. You could eat at any of these places and get a terrific meal.
And I think probably even earlier than that. I mean, I've had really good experiences at most Disney restaurants with, you know, a few notable exceptions. But yeah, especially here at the end, we're looking at places that you just have to balance what you like. And it is a tough decision. As you were talking about Ohana, I kept, you know, thinking about these great experiences that my family's had there. And, you know, with the exception of, you know, one dinner once, which was actually really bad at Ohana, we've had nothing but great experiences, like, you know, four or five times now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the Sweet 16 list, and I'd eat at any of those places in a second. Especially if you were banned. I didn't even see Dustin's comment before I said that either. So I guess what I would like to ask now is, as long as we've got some people still hanging out in the chat room, does anybody have any particular food memories from any of these table service restaurants that they'd like to share with the group? You know, a particularly good meal, maybe a meal that was a little more forgettable. You know, give everybody a heads up maybe on something they should watch out for. Anybody who would like to join in on the conversation live? For Bob's benefit, I'll go ahead and read off the list of the restaurants that had advanced to Sweet 16. Remember that some of this is matchup driven, but these were the ones who survived to the Sweet 16. We had Artist Point, Blue Zoo, Narcoossee's, Gico, Sanaa, Raglan Road, Boma, Kona Cafe, Tusker House, Crystal Palace, Ohana, Akershus, Via Napoli, Yak and Yeti, Hacienda de San Angel, and Beer Garden. So a pretty diverse list. And I think actually at least one restaurant from each of the theme parks still at that point, yeah. All right, so anybody have any meals that they want to tell us about? All right, well, I'm going to share this story because I had hoped that that Jeff was going to be able to join us on the show, but he and I were chatting last night because, as many of you know, Downtown Disney is in the process of a transformation from, you know, what it is now to this new Disney Springs concept. And so there are some changes going on, and one of those changes is that just this past weekend, I guess it would have been on Thursday night, was the last night of service for Cap'n Jack's in Downtown Disney. We managed, I'm trying to remember, did Cap'n Jack's, was it on the list, or did we go ahead and cut it all because it was already going to be gone? Do you remember, Eric?
It wasn't on the list, I don't believe.
Yeah, because we knew it was leaving.
It was on the chopping block, yeah.
Yeah, but Cap'n Jack's closed, and I guess because he's a brave soul and to tell it goodbye, our friend Jeff Swearingen decided to go and make a pilgrimage to have one final meal at Cap'n Jack's. And wouldn't you know it, even on its final night of existence, Cap'n Jack's was just not a place that you ever would want to eat. He reported, and I'm trying to pull up my notes here because I want you to hear exactly the way he put it. And I'm not sure it's still going to be here because we chatted for quite a while last night. Sorry, talk amongst yourselves.
Well, while Aaron finds that, my worst meal was at Shudders over at the Caribbean Beach Resort. And the first time we stayed at a moderate, and I was like, oh, this is nice to have a restaurant right here on site. Well, I was so disappointed. So I think after we finished not eating our meal, we just went across to the food court and ate. So terrible, terrible meal.
All right, so I'm going to read you Jeff's report of that final night dinner at Cap'n Jack's. He said, and I quote, well, I'm actually going to expurgate this a little bit, but the service was still awful. The Coke tasted like it had some sort of cleaning fluid in it. My shrimp hat and clam scampi tasted slightly of garlic. My fiancé's pasta was apparently only flavored with olive oil. But they let us keep the menus. So basically, they had a final meal at Cap'n Jack's, and literally every element of the meal was still disappointing. So, you know, I wish all the folks who worked there well. I hope they find other placement in, you know, somewhere else at Disney. But I think that one was definitely one that needed to go. And hopefully it will be replaced by something that's a big improvement. Anybody else? Any good, bad, or indifferent dining stories they want to share? I don't want to go into detail, but one of the reasons, one of the restaurants that I'm looking forward to going back and trying, hopefully on our next trip, is Boma, because the last time we ate at Boma, my daughter was dehydrated. We'd spent that day out, and she just hadn't been drinking enough along the way. I will spare you the details, but let's just say that there was some additional fertilizer for one of the potted plants in the Animal Kingdom Lodge that evening, and I guess that was a better target than the floor. I don't know. Let's leave it at that. It was not the fault of Boma. It just we didn't get to enjoy dinner because of her reaction to her dehydration. So I'm looking forward to actually getting to try it in a little bit more relaxed manner. I don't know. Eric, any place that you're especially looking forward to on your next trip?
See, I'm looking forward to getting back to Citrico's. It's been a while since we've been there. Next trip will be for the Wine and Dine Half Marathon. So this will be our recovery dinner after we run the next day. Again, haven't been there in a while and want to make sure it holds up. It's one of those signature dining experiences that you kind of look forward to for a while, so I'm already thinking about it. Although, you know, I now know that I have to get back to Fulton's Crab House at some point. Because over the course of these things, I've, come to trust Norm's palate on these things, so... I'll definitely get back there.
All right. How about you, Norm? Any place you're particularly looking forward to on your next trip?
Yeah, so we did record that, right? Eric said that he trusted Norm.
He didn't say trusted you. He said he trusted your palate. But...
I would go with you.
But that's close.
And we'll see how it goes after I get done eating at Fulton's.
Well, for me, we're going in October, and we have my signature reservation is Fulton's Crab House. We'll be going there on our trip. We have that one. And we also have Shula's this time around. So we're going to do those two on this trip, and I'm looking forward to both.
All right. Well, that sounds great. If we've got anybody else who would like to volunteer to call in and tell us about an ADR you're looking forward to on your next trip, that'd be great. But if not, I'm also okay with wrapping up a little early. Anybody else have anything they wanted to share with us?
Aaron, I do want to correct we did have Cap'n Jack's on the it was a play in in there, and it did not play in. So and we know why, given that.
Rightfully so. It impresses me when a restaurant can actually, you know, mess up a fountain soda. All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for tuning in and listening. You know, we had a great time doing this. It's been a fun summer. We got lots of new stuff coming up. If I'm trying to hold out on, you know, doing the final assignments for the podcast through the fall. So if you'd like to appear on the show, on the panel, go ahead and check out the boards at boards.dizdads.com. In the podcast forum, there's a thread for signups for the fall podcasts. Please let me know there if you'd like to appear on any of the shows. I'm trying to get those scheduled so we can, you know, make sure I get reminders out on time and get those recorded. So I've got some tentative panels set, but I'm trying to give it another day or two to give people a chance to sign up. In general, we love to hear from you and hear what our listeners think. You can email us at podcast@dizdads.com, visit our blog, dizdads.com, tweet us at dizdadspodcast on Twitter, and participate in the discussions in our forums at boards.dizdads.com. Until next time, I've been Aaron Rittmaster with my partners in crime, I will call them, on the Munch Madness series, Eric Anderson.
Thanks, everybody.
And Norm Hayden.
Thanks for listening and good eating, everybody.
Brought to you by Fairy Tale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. Let us help you put together your next magical Disney vacation. Find us at fairytalejourneys.com. Let us sweat the details so you don't have to.